Read from Psalm 62, from verse 6 to 9, before we pray. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 9. May I ask that we stand up for this? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the great privilege of being gathered before your face again and again. How often have we heard your voice? How often have you spoken to us through your word and through your spirit? Beloved Savior, we ask you to be present in a special way today. Give us grace to speak and grace to listen. We stand on our own with trembling and fear. But when we look up to you, our soul becomes still, very still, and comes to rest in you. For there is a rest for the people of God. We ask you, faithful Lord, to lead us into this rest. Take away everything restless, everything disturbing. Take away all uncertainty, all unbelief. Take everything from us that could prevent us from having an encounter with you. We also remember the prayer requests that were brought to us before this service. You know, Brother and Sister Rall, you know, Sister Klaus, you know all those who have asked that we pray for them, including our beloved brother who had an operation. Oh Lord, there's so much need, so much suffering, and many tears. We come to you and ask you for mercy, for healing, deliverance, salvation, help, and blessing. Make it known that you are with your people. Confirm your word and fulfill your promises. Faithful God, we consciously place this meeting under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Satan has lost his right. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin and places us unreprovable before the face of God. Cleansed, justified, and sanctified. Hallelujah. Oh, receive the thanks and praise of us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and honor, glory and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Every time we sing the chorus, Only Believe, Only Believe, we involuntarily think of Brother Branham and Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Because we believe this, we long for Him to reveal Himself as the same. And that is why we also come together, to be brought into lockstep, to receive divine instruction, indeed, to come into harmony with God. There is a marvelous word. It is probably in Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they agree? And the moment we agree with God, then we agree with His word. No man can tell me he agrees with God if he does not agree with the Word. God and His Word are inseparable. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. As far as I understand the end-time message, the Word addressed to us in general, it ultimately aims to bring us back to where we belong from God, into His will, into His Word, into His Spirit, into His life, into Him, into Him, in all things. Paul writes to the Ephesians, we are to grow into Him who is the head of the church, namely Christ. It is not your own growing up, but your growing into Christ that counts, so that through faith Christ may take shape in our hearts, be given room, and then reveal Himself. As you know, it is written, how can you love God whom you do not see, if you do not love your brother whom you see? We reveal the love of God that we carry in our hearts. We make it known to each other and among ourselves. And that is the beauty, that this love becomes ever more intimate, ever deeper, ever more heartfelt. Soon we will be inseparable. And I'll tell you why. Because we have been destined by God's love to be together with the Lord for all eternity. And so nothing will separate us from this love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The love of God is not dependent on circumstances, nor on rain or sunshine. The love of God has been made manifest through redemption. And there is a blood-bought multitude. There are the redeemed on this earth. They are children of God. They have been dearly bought. They belong to God, and no longer to themselves, and certainly not to this world. May the Lord come to His full right with us. And you all know that we always proclaim God's word freely and openly in this place. And this is not to criticize, but to help us to recognize the signs of the times and what is actually going on. And don't be angry with me, but when I think of the last journey of the Antichrist, who flew over Morocco on his return journey and was repeatedly interrupted by applause of 80,000 Mohammedans, then applause again, and then interrupted, and so on. You can see where things are going. You can see who is in first place. The whole world is calling for a new world order, for a new world monetary system. The whole world wants to rule the whole world. Of course, it has to manifest itself somewhere in a man and become obvious. But on that comes the bomb. We have it in writing. We have no other choice. We have to say it. I pursue things with a certain intention. In the Ivory Coast, the fetish people, that is to say the sorcerers and the magicians, are invited by him to take part in the meal and to take their seat on the platform. Everywhere, no matter who or what, everyone is invited with open arms. And they come. They come. They were just waiting for such a man in white to come and bring them some hope. We are grateful to God that we were allowed to make a decision, and that is in favor of Christ. Every person who has made a truly divine decision for Christ has also made a decision against the Antichrist. That is yes, and that is amen. There is nothing in between. The light has been separated from the darkness. But you also know that today there are no longer any preachers who still proclaim these truths. They must all be afraid. And you know why. But God has blessed Brother Branham in such a tremendous way. He has given him the revelations of the Word that the prophets, the apostles, and the Lord proclaimed in advance. And we see it today. Remember Revelation 13, verse 8, "And all the inhabitants of the earth will pay him homage and worship him, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world." So it is written in your Bible and in mine, so that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. All this must happen now. And it is happening so quickly that we must be careful to take our part in the plan of salvation seriously, just as we see what is happening in that direction. We should also soon be able to see what is happening on the divine side. I am not satisfied with just realizing here God's word is being fulfilled and so on. I want to see God's word fulfilled in the bride church. This quickening resurrection power must be revealed, and it will be revealed. Three scriptures from Revelation came to my heart, or memory, one from Revelation chapter 4. Here it says in verse 1, Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Only up to here, I am concerned here with one thought, the open heaven and the voice of God sounding from heaven. We have the right to hear God in these days, not what people have to say about Him or interpret His word. God has given us the privilege of hearing His word in the original. God has given us the privilege of having His original word transfigured by revelation, by the Spirit, as we hear it. We stand under an open heaven and hear the voice of the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven." In Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven of great significance to me." Not men who come out of a seminary, not men who have read books and prepared certain teachings for themselves, but men sent by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were available to God so that He Himself could speak through them. And I think we have to distinguish between the two. Every person who has been given the gift of discernment by God has been helped once and for all. Paul writes, "You received the word we preached to you, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which indeed it is." In proclaiming the word, we are dealing with God and His holy word. Now that we have laid the foundation, we will deepen this thought. God wants to speak to us from heaven, but He will always use His word and make it alive for us through His Spirit. If someone comes and proclaims something that is not in the Bible, then you don't have to believe it. Then it is not God who is speaking, but a pious fantasy, and spirits are then at work, presenting their own teachings. God is forever bound by His word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. And this word has become precious and dear to us. Take everything from me, but leave me God's word. This word tells me who God is. This word shows me the way to salvation. This word reveals to me the will of God. God speaks to us through this word. We are grateful for that. We are going to read some scriptures, and we will start with Hebrews, with chapter 12, a word we all know very well. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds,
und euren Mut nicht sinken lässt.
Our Lord and his life here on earth were not bedded on roses. He did not have universal encouragement. On the contrary, we all know the four Gospels and all the trials he had to go through. And here we are told that he endured and bore such contradiction of sinners against himself. And in this context, we are told that we also may not faint nor lose heart. Our Lord has gone the way before us. Do not expect encouragement. Expect opposition. Do not expect approval, but rejection. Do not expect to be understood, but to be misunderstood. We may all have our ideas about what the life of faith should look like, but we know that God has placed us in the midst of a battle. And this battle is of a spiritual nature, but we can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look at each other. Don't look at the one who preaches the word. Look at the one who speaks to us, from heaven. If people's gazes end at the preacher, then they have not even began the divine life. I mean the people in question. No, I have said it often enough. The preacher is not here to bring people into contact with himself. The preaching of the Word of God is there to bring people into contact with God through the sermon, so that they see Him, hear Him, believe Him, become connected with Him. That is the purpose of a sermon. And that is why, as preachers of the Word, we do not expect approval. On the contrary, we expect rejection from people. But God and all those who proclaim His Word expect acceptance of the Word and to God from all those whom He has pardoned and who have become followers of Jesus. There must be an inner agreement and connection to God and His Word. We look to the one who counted shame for nothing and endured the contradiction of sinners for the prize that awaited him, the reward. I ask you today, What is his reward? Who knows what the reward of pain is? We, as the redeemed, are the result of redemption. He has paid the price, and we have been bought. And because he knew that a multitude would appear before his throne, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed and sanctified in the presence of God, he endured it all. He had his eye on you and me. He saw you and me. He did not see the other. He saw the redeemed multitude. He has endured everything. I would like to say almost the same thing in this place today. I don't see what is coming upon me or around me. I see that at the end of this generation, the Lord will have a blood-bought multitude that stands in the word of truth that has been sanctified, a blood-bought multitude that will enter into glory. Sometimes even servants of God become tired and weary, and they ask, Lord, how will it end? And then there is a quiet voice in your heart. It will end well, because it will end with God. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. We can say with all truthfulness, everything that begins with God and ends with Him can only end well or not. Do I see that correctly? Do you see it that way too? Praise be to the name of the Lord. Our God has not yet failed. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. What He has promised, He will certainly fulfill. I would like to read Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us be thankful, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Because we are to receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we are to be thankful. Thankful for redemption and forgiveness. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for sending His servant and prophet. Thankful for the end time message, but also for something else. Thankful for the revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. And this includes being grateful that we are allowed to bear His reproach. That is also part of it. There has never been a person who has achieved honor in this world with the name of Jesus. No, this name will bring dishonor. It will bring temporary contempt, but eternal reward. Temporary reproach, misunderstandings, being rejected, being misjudged, being labeled as Jesus only, and many other things that go with it. Let us be grateful that we are allowed to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. And why do we bear it? because we have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. We could have been without it all, but with the first comes the second. Whoever receives the revelation of Jesus Christ must prepare and be ready to bear the shame of this name, and also the shame of all those who are connected with the divine message, with the work of God, and with everything that belongs to the church. That is also part of it. I would like to read another word from Amos 3. We have already read this sometimes. Amos chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, perhaps verse 8 as well. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? We could read in Revelation 5, when John was weeping, and the book was still closed, and suddenly he got the words, "Weep not, the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome to take the book and loose its seals." The lion roared. Who will not fear? But it wasn't just the lion's roar. The Lord God spoke. Hallelujah. It belongs to it. It is written directly afterwards. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? What can be meant by such a powerful statement? Should we all become prophets? Whether yes or no, let's hang it in the air. But one thing must be guaranteed for all of us, that we must believe and pass on the word revealed by God in the name of the Lord, as it came from the mouth of his servant and prophet, without compromise and without addition. That is enough for me. Whether someone says, "Yes, does it mean to be a prophet?" No, but it means to say what the prophet said. And then everything is fine. Not going beyond that, not interpreting, but saying what has been said through the "Thus saith the Lord." Do you agree with that? We don't need a new message. If I'm too loud, then I go back a little. It moves me. It moves me to the core. The Lord God has spoken. The voice has rang out from heaven. We have heard it. It has become a revelation of God to us. Who can but prophesy? First of all, it says, who should not fear? This is where the real and true fear of God comes in. Every one of us who has understood through divine revelation that the Lord has spoken, The fear of God comes upon him. The fear of God is always the fear of his holy word. What does it say in the prophet Isaiah? Those who tremble at the thought of my word. People treat the word of God lightly. Here we are dealing with God. The Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. This happened not only in the past, it happened in your time and mine. It happened in our time. This is the day that God has made for us to know what God's plan is for the church in these days. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Amen. The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? If I pass on the word of God literally, as I have received it from the Lord, then I am not speaking. God is speaking through me by his word and by his spirit. It was the same with Brother Branham and with all the servants and prophets of God. Paul could say, as I received it from the Lord, so I delivered it to you. I am not interested in human things in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, divine standards apply. In the kingdom of God, what he has said must be obeyed. Here we are told, who should not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Has he been able to speak to you? Has he been able to speak to me? Has the door of your heart and mine been opened? Have we understood his words? Has it become a living revelation to us? Who can but prophesy? Then we no longer speak what we want to say, but what God has said in his word. Let's go to Ezekiel 18. I want to read a few things there and show us with God's help what he intends to do, what he wants to do. Ezekiel 18, from verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, repent and live. I have a very special thought to share with you today. We all know the scripture in which God promised, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new and certain spirit. I will write my laws in your hearts. We are familiar with what God wanted to do. We know it. Here we are asked, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Here we can perhaps draw a parallel with a word that Paul elaborated in Ephesians 4. There he speaks of people who are or were sealed with the Holy Spirit and says, put off the old man and put on the new man who has been created after God's righteousness and true holiness. God has given us a new heart and a new spirit, but we have to make sure that this new heart and this new spirit, the Spirit of God, is not grieved and then has to withdraw, and the old state emerges again. I have two or three things to say today, things that I cannot believe. And this may shock you at the moment when someone up here says that there are things he cannot believe. But there are indeed some things that I cannot believe. For example, I can't believe that sweet and bitter can come from the same source. Why not? Because the Bible says so. Sweet water and bitter cannot come from the same fountain. You can read about it in James 3, verse 11. Does a fountain send forth sweet water and bitter? What did our Lord say on the last day of the feast in Jerusalem when he spoke of the Spirit that believers should receive? The water that I will give will become in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Perhaps there are two connections there, which I now bring to a common denominator. There is a divine source. I would like to read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, to be sure that we are not just quoting, but that it is written. Perhaps it is even another passage that I'm referring to. John 7, verses 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Then I referred earlier to John 4, to the Lord's conversation with the woman at the well. You can all read it for yourselves. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And that's talking about the water. And then the Lord also gives the answer that she no longer needs to draw, but that this water that he gives springs up into eternal life. You can read the story in chapter 4 from verse 6 onwards. I would like to go one step further. From one source cannot come sweet and bitter. We have taken this from James 3, verse 11. In Matthew 7, verse 16, it says that you cannot gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. You can only take from the plant or tree what has come from it, what has grown on it. The tree is recognized by its fruit. You can read this in Matthew 7, verse 18. A good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree brings rotten fruit. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Not by their success, not by their pious face, not by all the wisdom that men speak, but by their fruit. And if this is about the spiritual life, then it is about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, gentleness, patience, kindness, faith. You can read about it in Galatians 5, verse 22. There is one more thing I just can't believe. I can't believe that children of God have a devilish nature. I cannot believe it. I can believe that a child of God can make mistakes. I can believe that we can miss the mark. I can believe that misunderstandings can happen. We are still on earth. We all know that. But I cannot believe that the nature of the enemy can reveal itself in the reconciled. I cannot believe that Cain can become an Abel, and Abel can become a Cain. Nor can I believe that a true child of God, who is a follower of the Lord, can become a slanderer or a denier, unless Satan enters in as he did with Judas. We must lay down the biblical guidelines, lay them down uncompromisingly, and ask ourselves only one question. O God, what about my inner self? What is revealed through my life? Have the fruits of the Spirit and the life of God, the characteristics of our Lord, as listed in the letter of Peter, the becoming partaker of the divine nature already been revealed? Beloved brothers and sisters, here and in all places, in all countries, we must walk toward perfection. We must take a few steps forward in faith. We must keep our eyes on the goal and not be distracted by things the enemy wants to throw in our way or even does. But we must look past them. Yes, I look up to heaven, where you are praised in the higher choir, as the song goes. And then we no longer see the circumstances, but the Lord, who has said, I have begun the good work in you. I will also finish it. Every seed brings forth after its kind, as Genesis 1 says. If we have received the divine seed of the Word within us, then divine seed must come forth through children of God who bear the nature of Jesus, who live out His life here without any effort on your part or mine. True believers would have to make an effort to hate, and they would not be able to hate despite their efforts. They would have to laugh at themselves afterwards and say, "Why did you even try?" And it's the same the other way around. Without effort, people like Cain can strike their brother dead, leave him lying there, and then come before the Lord and say, "Shall I then be my brother's keeper?" And then the Lord says, "His blood cries out to me from the ground." That he did not still say, "I don't care," was all. Beloved, these two lines still exist among believers today. And Brother Branham says very clearly and plainly, it goes through to the end. Blessed is the man who does not hate, but is hated, who does not misunderstand others, but is misunderstood, who does not accuse others, but is accused, who does not betray others, but is betrayed. The list could go on and on. What did Brother Branham say to the brethren who excluded him and drew a circle? He says, "I have drawn the larger circle and have included those who excluded me in this larger circle." A man of God will live out the life of Jesus here without any effort, perhaps still in weakness. We are not yet in the manhood of Jesus Christ, but we are about to take a few strong steps of faith, and God will help us. Back to the Word. In the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 18, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart." We must recognize that which could defile our hearts after they have been cleansed and renewed by God. We must cast it away from us and not allow the hearts cleansed by the blood to be defiled anew. For there is the glorious promise that our Savior gave in the Sermon on the Mount: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It is one thing to receive a new and clean heart from God, and then it is up to you and me to put away from us the things that defile and pollute this new and clean heart, so that our heart may remain washed, pure and holy under the blood of the Lamb, that Christ may dwell in it, and the hope of glory in us is justified. For thus it is written, Christ in us, the hope of glory. From God's side, everything has happened. A new heart, a new covenant, a new life. Everything has been provided from God. Now we enter into this covenant with God. Let ourselves be given a new heart, a new certain spirit, and His Spirit then bears witness to our spirit in perfect assurance of faith that we have become children of God. The whole of hell can stand on its head. We believe what God has said, because it is the truth, it is true, and everything the devil wants to object to is a lie anyway. And make you a new heart and a new spirit. Yes, how can we do that? Only by clearing away all the obstacles, everything that stands in God's way, and letting Him rule and reign. We go to Ezekiel chapter 12, from verse 22. Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. What a marvelous word! Who can judge the significance of such a scripture? Our God wants to comfort us. He wants to encourage us to persevere. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. What are the two main thoughts here? We want to put an end to the saying of people who say, the prophecies of God are null and void. Nothing will happen anyway. That was number one. And secondly, every prophecy of our own must also be brought to an end once and for all in the Church of the Living God. May God speak. We can rely on that, and then He will do it. When I think of all that people have announced, and that I blue-eyed believed it, and it didn't, then a little sadness arises in me, and I say, Lord, keep me from ever listening to another human being until the last hour of my life. We have placed the words from Revelation at the beginning of this sermon, from chapter 4, chapter 14, Chapter 18. The voice came from heaven. God has spoken. Today is about the Lord speaking. And I'm just going to say it like this. We have made a big mistake and have had to accept hard lessons, bitter lessons, because we have not heeded certain scriptures. I assumed that people who operate gifts are imbued with the same truthfulness of God as I have to stand before God with preaching the word. It didn't occur to me that people produce anything themselves. But do you know what happened to us over the years? How often have we spent a whole hour translating one of Brother Branham's most powerful sermons, and God spoke to us. And then, at the end, we all cried to the Lord, "O God, speak to us now." And what happened next? People felt moved inwardly. We wanted to hear it. And then came prophecies of various kinds, and was followed by "Thus saith the Lord." And it wasn't "Thus saith the Lord" at all. We had to endure bitter lessons. But then the day came when I managed to say, "For eternity, I will no longer listen to what people say." That point had to be made. After I had to drink the cup, the bitter cup, to the brim, the penny dropped for me too. God alone is true, and every man is a liar. And when we come before the face of God and hear His word, then He speaks to us, doesn't He? Then He speaks through His word, and we are not dealing with a dead letter, but with a word made alive, which has been brought to us in this way. And we recognize the context of God's plan of salvation in these days. Do you see the connection to Amos 3, verses 7 and 8? The Lord God has spoken. Not people, the Lord God has spoken. Who then should not prophesy or pass on what God has said? Not talk past God, not add to God's words, but hear God's word. Believe and say what God has said. I come to the close with this summary of these precious thoughts here. The people said, "Time drags on day after day, and all prophecy becomes obsolete." How often does the trial also come upon the children of God? And very quietly, deep inside, the question arises, how much longer will it take? Will everything happen? Will it happen? Believe me, it will happen. Because God has said it in His word, that is why it will happen. He is bound by His word. And the Lord says, "I will put an end to this saying." When we think, we can think, everything drags on and nothing happens and so on. God wants to put an end to this thought and this saying. I am convinced that God has also worked on us during the time of drought, that we have learned lessons that will be valuable to us in the future, so that we don't do the same thing again. The Lord says, I will put an end to this saying. It shall no longer be spoken in Israel. Rather tell them, the time is near, and the fulfillment of all prophecies is at hand. Hallelujah! Praise and honor be to our God. Are we not often enough like these people? Lord, how much time has passed and nothing happens. God wants to and will put an end to these trains of thought, these conversations. Our God has a time in which He places promises upon the lampstand, and then comes His time and hour to fulfill His word. And we wait for this, and we do not wait in vain. As surely as He said it, so surely will He do it. Say unto them, the time is near, and the fulfillment of all prophecy is at hand. Hallelujah! All the prophecies of Scripture. Right? Amen. The time is near, and the fulfillment of all prophecy is at hand. Compare this with Peter, that no prophecy came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the last book is the book of prophecy anyway. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. We come back to this foundation, and then we are told, for henceforth there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination. Amen. I fully agree with that. Amen. That wasn't loud enough. God has promised us both. Amen. He has promised to do what He has promised. And at the time when He begins the fulfillment of His prophesied plan of salvation, which is now approaching completion, at that moment, all human speech in the Church of the Living God ends. Then we all speak only the language of God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one knowledge of the Son of God. I look forward to it. For the longest time has passed. The hour of God must be near. All the signs of the times point to it. Oh, I want to see with my eyes the consummation of the bride church. I want to witness it. I want to be able to rejoice with all of you, so that we can exclaim together, God has done great things for us. He has fulfilled all the prophecies of Scripture and everything He has announced. Fulfilled in us, in you and in me. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The Lord God has spoken, and what He has spoken, He fulfills. His time has come. The fulfillment has come. What people have announced has not been fulfilled. And that is a good thing, that we have been put to shame, that our spiritual hearing is tuned solely to the voice of God, to the voice of His Word, and that we can say yes, and the Lord can give His Amen to it. May He give us a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. May he give us the grace to keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord, through his grace, through his faithfulness. And let us also pray for one another, that God will help the weak, as it is written, that the weakest would be like David, and the strongest like the angel of the Lord at their head. With God, all this is possible. We are all cowards and weaklings, we know that. But God is strong, God is mighty, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We can only say, Lord, take the whole place in us. Dispose of us yourself. Use us and bless us. Hallelujah. What a precious word. Read it again in prayer at home and thank God for it. His hour, his time has come. We rejoice that we have not waited in vain. We are not fools, for we have believed God. And because we have believed God, we will not be put to shame, but we will see the glory of God and experience the fulfillment of his promises. This is yes and amen to the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, today you have spoken to us through your word. Not where people say, here is Christ or there is Christ. Do not go. He is there where his word is. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to kiss this Bible, press it to our hearts. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. And whoever follows you will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. You said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Sanctify your church. Purify your church. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. We also pray for all, O Lord, who are tossed to and fro by the deception of men. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on them and go after them. Let them realize that it is not human atmospheres that bring us into the presence of God or let us experience perfection. God leads his people. God speaks in his church. Hallelujah. And he who has understood you can do without all other speech. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks be to you. You are marvelous. Lord, I accept your word, which I did not think about before. I accept it for myself and for all of us, today in faith. Beloved Lord, especially the word in Ezekiel 12. My God, I thought about that in chapter 18 before. But that in chapter 12 has become so new to me, has become great. Your time has come. The hour of fulfillment of all prophecies, and this is your time. Your time is not idle time. Your time is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. When the time was fulfilled, God sent his Son. Again and again it happened. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, we do not set the time, but you have already set it. Hallelujah. And from the moment you begin to confirm and fulfill the promises and prophecies of Scripture. From that moment, no one else may or will speak among your people. You alone will speak, and what you say will be fulfilled. Hallelujah! Praise and honor to your glorious name. You are great and marvelous. You take care of your own. You have also spoken to us today from heaven through your word. We thank you dearly. Hallelujah. To your glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.